today on Real Radio.
Are you in the midst of a challenge? If you are, God's word will give you the answer. Listen, but watch, there's a little caveat to this. If you don't seek him, you ain't gonna get the answer. He says, I will be found by you when you have searched after me with all your heart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack and a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to him so that he could continue to bless them. Now, Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part one of this message from Isaiah chapter 7, we were reminded of how God is bound to his word and that his word is true and it lasts forever. God also values his word above his own name. And when Judah faces war from the north, Isaiah tells them not to panic or to lose heart. God will not allow the invasion to happen. God's protection has been promised to no other nation than Israel. And plans to ultimately destroy Israel, well, they're never going to succeed. Now in part two, we'll continue to see God's faithfulness in keeping his promises. So today, Pastor Jack challenges us to look at our own lives and see if we believe God's word to be true. Judah's King Ahaz didn't believe God's word to be trustworthy because he had rebellion in his heart. And even though Isaiah tells Ahaz to ask for a sign from God, Ahaz goes against Isaiah's promise that God made to him and made alliances with other nations. And now in his lesson called God's Word is Always True, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Tonight we're going to do our best to unpack it and let the Bible interpret the Bible. That's always the best way to study the Bible. Don't let your friend tell you what the Bible says. Don't let your imagination tell you what the Bible says. Let the Bible tell you what it says. And that's why you want to read the entire Bible all the time, every year, through and through. So we're looking at part two of this message entitled, God's Word is Always True. Will you write that down? God's Word is Always True, Isaiah chapter 7. And I'm going to give you some verses. I promised you I would. And so by way of introduction, I hope we come to the end of this message with a very, very high estimation of God's eternal word. God's holy word, the Bible. First of all, the Bible tells us of itself in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Promise, God's word illuminates the direction in which you are to go. That's how you need to understand that. God's word answers the challenge of my life. Are you in the midst of a challenge? If you are, God's word will give you the answer. Listen, but watch, there's a little caveat to this. If you don't seek him, you ain't gonna get the answer. The answer's there, the answer's available, but God who, listen, he reserves this right, it's his right. He says, I will be found by you when you have searched after me with all your heart. So that means you got to pick up the Bible, read it, and the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Write that down. That's a verse I just came off the top of my head. Write it down. So we have 87 verses now for you to write down. God says the more you take in the word of God, the more you study the Bible, the more it becomes that illuminating guidance to your life. Next portion of scripture, 2 Timothy 3:14, regarding God's word always being true. 2 Timothy 3:14. Paul tells Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You ought to circle the Holy Scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed out the scriptures. The Bible says of itself that God is the actual author of the Bible. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Whatever you and I do in life, it's going to be done right if the word of God abides in us. That's the promise of God. God's word is true all the time. And you can depend on it, friends. By the way, it's so good to have the Bible. It's so good to be a Christian because life throws its curveballs at us, its difficulties and its challenges at us. And there is nothing that will support you and undergird you in those moments but the word of God. And I don't want to bum you out. I want to encourage you. Every one of us will go through a life-threatening hardship in life. It's coming. You and I will have it. Could be sickness, could be marriage, could be disaster, could be what, doesn't matter what it is. God's word anticipates it, and it will gird you up. That's the promise of God. My goal is to have you believe God in that word. He has promised you. He will never, never be unfaithful, and he will do it. For you and I, what is required of us? We are to anticipate him keeping his holy word, and he'll do it. John 5:39, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." Now, they were searching the scriptures, but they didn't see the attributes and the characteristics of the Messiah to come. Look what he says. "And these are they, the scriptures, which do testify of me." Jesus said that. Isn't that awesome? And then Hebrews, listen, mark this down. Hebrews 10:7 and Psalm 40:7 say the same thing. "Then I said, behold, I have come, and in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God." That is a psalm, Psalm 40:7, and it's answered in Hebrews 10:7 about the Messiah. God keeps his promises regarding his word. Now, last time together, we started into this. Mark it down if you didn't last time. God's word is always true. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7:1-9, we saw because God keeps his word. His word is always true, and God keeps his word. And I'm going to paraphrase, but you mark it down. In chapter 7:1-2, we learned this, that it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, God answers and speaks during this king's reign, that the king of Judah, as Ahaz is leading them, very bad king, that what's going on, that Syria in the north and the northern kingdom Israel, remember the kingdom's divided, that Syria and Israel are going to group together and they're going to go after Judah in the south, and Ahaz is the king. And the announcement was made, they're going to come against you. They're plotting. Now, you guys, I want you to follow this, and I will touch on the historical part of it because we need to do that, of course, but I want to make it very personal and practical tonight as we go through this. In verses 3-9, God speaks to Isaiah, and he says, "Speak to this wicked king over Judah. Speak to Ahaz and tell him this." And man, does this sound familiar in our day and age? "You're scared and you're nervous because you've heard of an invading power, be it Israel in the north, have linked up with Syria." Reason has linked up with the king of the north. And they're going to come against you, and you're scared. You're upset. You're panicking. And Isaiah says, Isaiah speaking to the king, and he says, "Don't worry. Listen, God is not going to allow this to happen." That's the promise given to Judah. "I'm not going to let this happen." That's what God is saying through the prophet. Now, Ahaz knew that Isaiah was called of God. He didn't like, by the way, Ahaz did not like Isaiah. But he knew that he was called of God. And Isaiah is announcing, God is not going to bring judgment yet against Judah, against the southern kingdom. Ahaz, just calm down. Ahaz did not listen to the word of God. Ahaz viewed the counsel given by Isaiah as something not trustworthy. I've got to take care of this. Listen, all of us go through this temptation. God's word says, I'm going to take care of you. I just said it a moment ago, that God will undergird you. Listen, don't say anything to this challenge. Do you believe him to do that? Academically, we would say yes. In a moment, Ahaz is going to say yes academically. Do we kind of say things like that today, you guys? Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that's Christianese. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know if we should say that so much. Because what are we talking about? Do we really? That's a holy thing to say, to praise the Lord. Oh, you know, my car just got a flat tire, and you're like grinding your teeth, and you're all upset and angry, and you say, oh, praise the Lord. It's not really, it's kind of a saying, you know, rather than a reality sometimes. We want to be careful. In a moment, we're going to learn that Ahaz is going to say, oh, I would never tempt the Lord. And yet he had, it was just words. He had already determined to not listen to the word of God that was promised to him. You and I could run into that danger, you guys. And so, the enemy is coming. Ahaz is nervous. And we find out that when the king is nervous, Judah's nervous. All the people are nervous. Look, this is either a good thing or a bad thing, people, but whatever kind of leader you have in any kind, it could be business, could be a church, could be the nation, could be the state. But people, the way God has established leadership, good, bad, or ugly, the truth is that whoever is leading affects the populace. And we know this. And so Ahaz is nervous. Now the people are nervous and they're fearing rather than going to the word of God. But listen, God has always kept his word. You guys, again, by way of introduction, in Psalm 83, this is where we left off last time together. Psalm 83, there's a psalm there, and we actually included it last week in our update. In Psalm 83, beginning at verse 2 through 8, look at it there if you turn or mark it down in your Bibles. There it says, for behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you, that is hate God, have lifted up their head, and they have taken crafty counsel against your people. Man, I need to remind you, this is a 3,000-year-old prophecy. And consulted together against your sheltered ones. So if you're here tonight and you don't know what we're talking about, you're not sure about Israel, you ought to be asking this question, well, who are his sheltered ones? Verse 4, they have said, that is the invaders or those that are dreaming up an attack, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. That the name of who? This has been in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen, for 3,000 years. This is not added. This is not a new version of the Bible I'm reading out of. Israel has always been in the Bible. Like it or not, it's not going anywhere. He is announcing that in the last days there's going to be crafty counsel, plans will be made against Israel, that they may be remembered no more. Verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent, one plan, one mind. They have formed a confederacy against you, the God of heaven. And he lists these nations or these tribes and just circle those names because they're all regions surrounding Israel, of course, back then, even up to this time. Whenever Israel is in the news, church, mark this down, just like it would have been then. Can you imagine being one who's dwelling under King Ahaz's reign? And play with me for a moment. You live in Judah. You go out to the newsstand, and you open up the newsstand, and you get the newspaper. Some of you young people are going, what's a newspaper? What? You get a push notification from the Jerusalem Post back then, and it's telling you that there's rumblings in the north, and it looks like you could be invaded. That would have concerned them, of course. What's interesting, it's so amazing that nations around the world today, if And I don't mean to throw any country under the bus. I'm not doing that right now. But honestly, if it was even reported in the news that someone is invading New Guinea, people would probably either not read it or they wouldn't really care much about it unless you're from New Guinea, frankly. Isn't it amazing that regarding the nation of Israel, that news is published daily all around the world at all times? Everybody, when Israel's in the news, they sit up and they take notice. Why? Because even though it's such a little place, it affects, what goes on there affects the region, and the region affects all of our lives around the world. Even if it's removed or relegated down to the point of just oil, it affects your life. Oh my goodness, yesterday I was speaking in Houston, Texas. I've never been to Houston, Texas before. Anybody from Houston? Good. Oh, you are? Okay, anyway, it's a fine place. I couldn't believe it. Every direction you look, it's oil. I mean, yikes, this is Texaco, this is Shell, this is BP, this is that. It's like, yikes! Listen, I guarantee you, I don't know anybody in those oil refineries or whatever they do, and there were ships coming in and out, tankers. I don't know anybody there. I'm just telling you this. Whatever happens, whatever goes on in the Middle East affects oil. But even more than that, if Israel's in the news, you better sit up and take notice. You better find out what's going on in the news. And the things that you're watching right now in the news, in the world, it's amazing to me. And I look, I love this, because if you're a skeptic, you should like, I want to challenge you. You should be checking the news to see what's going on in the world and see how when you peel back the layer, as you do research and as you keep going and digging and digging and digging, you begin to find out at the core of it all is this little tiny place that's got people really upset the size of New Jersey just for existing. Just for existing. And that hatred runs deep. It's long. And it has been in the ranks of Satan's mind forever. You keep that in mind. Why anti-Semitism is growing as it is. But you keep your eye on Israel in the news. But the current events, in my opinion, or something, just like if you lived in those days of Isaiah. Isaiah is going to prophesy to them and saying, you are going to be taken captive. You are going to be captured. That is going to happen in the future because you've rebelled against God. You have rejected God. And what's going to happen, by the way, church, is the north, the 10 tribes in the north called Israel, they are going to be captured by the, not Syria, who they're joining ranks with in Isaiah chapter 7, Assyria, that is a big region. Assyria, watch, Assyria is in a distant land, and because of Ahaz being nervous and scared that Syria and Israel is going to attack him, instead of going to God for the answer and listening to Isaiah, guess what Ahaz does? He goes and visits the king of Assyria and makes an alliance with him. Listen, when you don't trust God, you make an alliance with people. When you don't trust God, you get into treaties and you begin to trust men. You begin to trust other nations or whatever that might be. Listen, I'm kind of concerned about America right now. We're not trusting God as our nation. Our nation's not trusting God. And we're making alliances with nations that would really, if they could, they've already said, if we could, we'd destroy you. But we're not talking about that right now. No, really. And I think we need to trust God. I don't know about you guys, but I think that leaders, it's okay for a leader to come up and say, look, I'm not exactly sure how to run this state, but I was voted in, I'm trying real hard, and I'm gonna amass to me people who know what to do. You know, you guys, Ronald Reagan is almost rock star status or legendary, almost mystical. You want to know why he was such a great leader? Have you ever read his books? I got his books. You ever read his books? Ronald Reagan, he was like George Washington. Maybe he learned this from Washington's writings. You know, Washington was amazing. In fact, he was so amazing, the United States wanted to make him king. Did you know that? And when you go to the nation's capital and you see what's called the Ascension of Washington, you know the rotunda, you know the capital of the United States? Did you know what's at the top? A painting of George Washington being received by angels into the presence of God. That's at the top. Did you know that? He was made like a saint. He was such a great leader. Washington, in his own writings, makes it very clear. In those areas that I don't know about, I seek out those who do know and put them on my side. Did you know Ronald Reagan did that? Yes. He was radical as governor of this state. He was radical as a president, and the world loved him. Why? Because he was just so smart. And but he said, I wasn't that smart. But he said, I was smart enough to know this. The stuff I didn't know, I would go find the person who did know. And he got the credit for it. He knew who, allow me to put it this way. He knew who to hire. That is awesome leadership. When you have the honesty and the wisdom to say, I don't know, but this guy knows, and I'm gonna put him on staff. I'm gonna put him in my cabinet. That's brilliant. That's the way to lead. Ahaz wouldn't listen to Isaiah. What would happen today, ladies and gentlemen, church, we're praying for revival. What if a man walked onto the steps of the Supreme Court or the Capitol building and said, thus saith the Lord, repent from your sins, wash your hands, seek God and live and call the nation to prayer. Do you know what we would do as a country? We would probably have him arrested. You can't say that on state property. And no, we're not going to pray. Don't you think it's time that the nation be called to prayer? And you say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. But here's the thing. Here's the part where I get convicted is, yes, but I shouldn't wait for Jerry Brown to call the state to prayer. We should pray.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to listen today. And let's not be an Ahaz, but instead, let's put our trust in God and in His Word. God's Word is Always True, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before He was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, it's God's grace that allows us to come to Him. It's not through our own efforts, but through faith that we can receive eternal life in heaven. Most of us as Christians already know this, but still, we often try to earn our salvation through our works, or we forget what it truly means to know God and His plan for our lives. That's why Pastor Jack has a tab at his website called Know God. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. The Know God tab provides specific information on what your commitment to Christ is all about. The Know God tab is also a great witnessing tool for sharing Christ with others. It tells you exactly what happened when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and how to move forward in your life as a believer. And if you've recently made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, we'd like to hear about it. Click on the tab called Connect at the reallifewithjackhibbs.org website, and be sure to let us know of your step of faith so we can praise the Lord along with you. That's the Connect tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.